Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Our word today comes from the book of Exodus, 7th chapter, verses 1 through 5. That is Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the New International Version. And it reads as thus. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hands on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am God," pardon me, "when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." I want to speak today on the topic, "Know that I am God, the Lord." Let me give you some background, if I may. The Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians for over 400 years. God had heard the cry of the Israelites and had mercy on them, since he had made a covenant with Abraham that his offspring would inherit the land. God raised up Moses and his brother Aaron to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let God's people go. God had a plan. God would harden Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the people go. As a result, God would bring miraculous plagues onto Egypt to show the Egyptians that he is Lord of all and capable of doing anything, including miracles. Now, God brought 10 plagues onto Egypt. They are, number one, blood. This is when all the water in Egypt, including the Nile River, turned to blood. If you had water in a cup, it turned blood. Every drop of water anywhere in Egypt turned to blood. Plague number two, frogs. Frogs invaded Egypt and covered everything, including inside of their homes. Yuck. Even in their ovens, the scripture says, even in their ovens, it was everywhere. There was no place they could go that did not have frogs. And when this plague was over, there was a pile of dead frogs everywhere. Gnats, number three, gnats. Can you imagine the entire sky full of gnats? Not only outside, but inside your house too. Number four was flies. Same thing, flies everywhere. Inside your house, outside your house. There was nowhere you could go. You couldn't even see. It was so many bugs. Number five, livestock. All horses, camels, cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats were hit with a plague and died. But God spared the animals that belonged to the Israelites. Think about that for a second. Number six, boils. And then boils, if you don't know what a boil is, it's this thing that pops up on your skin. Turns red, it's disgusting. Anyway, boils appeared on every living creature, man and animals. But not a single boil got on the Israelites. Number seven, hail. Well, I had a lot of claims in Egypt, boy, because hail was everywhere, okay? Everything outside was killed by the hail, humans, animals, The plants were destroyed. The trees were stripped of its leaves. That's how much hail came down, and that's how heavy it fell, and how big it was in size to destroy trees and plants, to kill people, to kill animals, creatures. Amazing. That was number seven. Number eight, locusts. Now, we know we just got over this cicada thing, and they were around a little bit, but can you imagine locusts covering the entire city ground and in the homes of the Israelites, of the Egyptians? It destroyed what was left of any field that the hail didn't kill. The locust did. Number nine, the ninth plague was darkness. There was no light in Egypt at all for 3 days. I'm not talking about sun up, sun down. I'm talking about for a complete 3 day period, it was dark. No daylight, no sunlight, no nothing. It was pitch black. People couldn't do anything. People couldn't go nowhere. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face in Egypt, outside or inside their homes, for 3 full days. Now Goshen, the town next to them, where the Israelites stayed, were not affected. The last plague, number 10, the firstborn male. Surely you've heard about that. The firstborn son of every Egyptian would die in Egypt. Okay, then Israelites were spared by placing lamb blood over the door frame on the top and the sides of their homes. This is what is known as Passover, where the blood of the lamb caused death to pass over the homes of the Israelites. Now, God passed over Goshen, where the Israelites stayed, prior to this Passover. It should be noted that none of the first nine plagues affected the town of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. Goshen is the town right next door to Egypt. In fact, the people probably could see the plagues on Egypt if they were standing near the border of Egypt from Goshen, okay? Imagine for a second that you are in Goshen and Egypt is across the street from where you are standing. You see millions of flies as an example, but not one fly comes on your side of the street. You see this big wall of flies on the other side of the street. Is that a miracle or what? While I was preparing this particular sermon, God brought back to me a memory of an event that I witnessed when I was 12 years old. I was over at a relative's house, and all of the kids were sitting in the front yard on the grass in lounge chairs. The sky was getting dark, and it was getting ready to rain any minute. Suddenly, we could hear the rain. It was real loud. We quickly grabbed our chairs and was headed back to the house. Then we realized that we could hear the rain, but we were not getting wet. Not a drop of rain fell on us. We looked up in the sky and saw no rain and wondered where the rain was coming from. Since the sound was so loud, we looked across the street and to our amazement, it was raining cats and dogs on the other side of the street, but not one drop on our side of the street. I was 12 years old. I wasn't really spiritual nothing back then, so I didn't really think about it like that. But it was raining so hard, we could see a sheet of rain that separated our side of the street from theirs. Everything on their side of the street was soaking wet. It was incredible. We watched for over 5 minutes, where there was a wall of rain on that side of the street and we were totally dry on our side. One of the kids, I don't know who it was, might even be my little brother, went to get our parents to show them this miracle. But by the time the parents arrived, the wall of rain was gone and the rain was coming on our side and everything got wet. I had forgotten all about that until God brought it back to my memory. The people of Goshen probably had a similar experience when it was hail, or when gnats and flies were everywhere but in Goshen on their side of the street. God wanted to show the Egyptians that he is Lord over everything, but God gave the Israelites a front row seat to see all of these miracles so that they also would know that God is God over all things. This is why God hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he could put these miracles on full display for all to see, not just the Egyptians, but the Israelites, so that everybody would know that he is God. Now, the Lord did numerous miraculous things in the presence of the Israelites after that. I mean, I'm not even talking about parting the sea, the manna, the water from the rock. I'm not talking about none. I'm just talking about even before they got out of exile, he did all these miracles. And they still didn't believe. They still murmured and complained. I was thinking about Pharaoh, right? Now, if God hadn't hardened his heart, he probably would have let him go with the first plague. You know, because let me look back what the first plague was. Blood. If all your water turns to blood, that's like, okay, God, you can have them. Y'all can leave. I'm out of here. Just give me some water, you know? Because if it's all blood, you can't drink any water. You can't prepare your food with water. You can't do anything. Pharaoh probably would have just called it a day right then and there. But God hardened his heart to perform these 10 miracles, all 10 of these plagues, so that not only would the Egyptians believe, but the Israelites would believe as well. I named this message, Know That I Am God, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is Hebrews 13:8. And we tend to forget that God still does miracles today. We read the Bible and say, well, that happened back then, he can't do it now. God is the same, Hebrews 13:8. God is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. So we say, okay, what is he doing for us now? What miracles is he doing now? Well, I'm going to bring it a little bit up to date, because all of what I read about in Exodus happened thousands of years ago. And maybe we all need a little proof or a little sign saying, you know what? God still does miracles. In 1985, San Francisco / Oakland had an earthquake. It was a bad earthquake. Part of a highway, the overpass of the highway, fell onto the highway, crushing everything on the highway. It took them 3 days to try and recover bodies. And as they were removing rubble, all of this debris on top of all these cars, they discovered a man 3 days later that was alive. And the man said, when they got to him, he said, what took you so long? I think that's a miracle. I really do. I think about the pandemic, the vaccine. It took man over 20 years to develop a vaccine for polio. I mean, I had to get the measles before they came out with a vaccine for it. Same thing with chickenpox. But now, the pandemic came, and a year later, God not only gave them a vaccine, he gave them three. And counting, there's others still in development. Within a year. Is that one of the miracles? Is that the same as this? Of course it is. It's the same God. We tend to think, if we look back on our lives and say to ourselves, oh man, that must have been lucky. I was really lucky that day. There was no luck. God is not a lucky God. God is an awesome God. Amen. God don't operate in luck. God don't need no luck. He's God. We tend to say, okay, we got lucky. No, we were blessed. We need to thank God for our miracles in our life. I'll give you another example. There was this guy riding down the street, and a drunk driver came across, hit his car, hit his SUV. The SUV, the impact was so strong, the SUV rolled over 3 complete times, landed 100 yards further up the road on its wheels after turning over 3 times. A police officer was coming in the opposite direction and saw him flipping around. The police officer got on his walkie-talkie and called for a coroner because he figured that person must be dead. Well, they got to the guy. They started cutting him out the car because that was the only thing they could do. The car was so mangled. They had to cut him out. And so when they got the guy out the car, the guy walked away. Only injury he had was his shoulder that was sore from the seatbelt keeping him in the vehicle. Now you say, well, that's not a miracle. Oh, I say it is, because that person driving that SUV was me. So I'm telling you from experience that I have lived and seen a miracle from God. I should not be here, but God did a miraculous thing and saved my life. I'm sure if you look back on your life, you could see an example where you may have been somewhere where you shouldn't have been. Somebody got shot near you. Somebody got hurt near you. You didn't get hurt. You were in a situation where you could have been raped, or you could have been shot. You could have been hurt. And it didn't happen because God, no luck, God performed a miraculous thing in your life and saved you. Now, from a financial standpoint, I almost lost my house. I came one day, hours from losing my house. They were going to foreclose. But in that hour leading up to it, God performed a miracle. And I was not only able to save my house by paying my mortgage, I had money left over. Got a new job and everything. All this God did within an hour. That was a miracle. I had no way of doing it on my own. It was not luck. It was a miracle from God. We need to stop calling luck luck. It's a miracle. I'm sure we all have certain examples in our lives that says, okay, that wasn't luck. I can't explain it. It just happened. Well, that's the miracle. But I want to bring this all to a conclusion by saying that God is the same God, and know that He is God and capable of doing these things. If you don't expect a miracle, you won't get one. Amen? But God is a miraculous God, and we're lucky. We're blessed to be His people, because He's going to bless us just like He blessed the Israelites. He's going to protect us just like He protected the Israelites. So in closing, I just want to say that we serve a miraculous God, that we should be expecting miracles in our lives. This isn't something that just happened to the Israelites back in Exodus 2,000 years ago. This is the same God. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus we come. Thank You, Father, for being our God. Thank You for this word, and thank You for the miracles that You performed, and so that we will know that You are God and Lord of all things. Father, we repent for not recognizing your greatness and Your power over all things, Lord. We repent in the name of Jesus. Help us understand, Lord, that You're the same God You were then, that You are now, and always will be. Father, we give thanks to You, Lord. We just hold You in such high esteem and thank You for the miracles that we thought was luck that You performed in our lives, Lord. We thank You for that, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You continue to watch over us and keep us safe and help us, Lord. If we need a miracle, Father, I pray that You send one. Father, have us to be quick to give You the glory and praise that You so richly deserve. I thank You for this word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it'll touch many. It'll touch many and bring about a change and draw them to you. For that's the bottom line, Father, that we all have a relationship with you. I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.